Welcome back, guys. It's Perry with the Simple Pod, and I'm here, Disciple FM, all the aliases, plugs. I'm here with Jordan. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, there.
And Mitchell.
Hey, how's it going?
And we're here for our third episode in our longevity installment. We've talked to Lindsay about platonic friendships. It was a great episode, and then we kind of addressed boundaries in a way as well. And so this time around, Mitch, what are we talking about, Mitch?
So we are going to talk about spiritual maturity, an incredibly important topic in discipleship, but one that many are afraid to approach because it requires being called higher and calling others higher. Mm-hmm. So we are going to jump firmly on the third rail today and have a ton of fun doing it.
Third rail. How did you get the will to jump on the third rail, Mitch? What inspired you?
Well, actually, when I was in the ministry and training program in Columbia, Missouri, I was given an assignment to do a devotional, and mine happened to be about maturity. So I had been thinking about this topic for a couple of years now, and it's one of my favorite aspects to talk about because it is so utterly important.
Wow. Awesome. And so you have, kind of ironic, you have this longevity when it comes to this topic, right?
One could certainly put it that way, yes.
Jordan, what's your take on spiritual maturity?
I think it's absolutely necessary.
Wow. See, why though? Why is spiritual maturity necessary? Well, like, what do you think it means, or that term means in general?
Well, I think whenever you come up out the water, I don't know if this was for you guys, but I thought I had my life together, and I was like, I know everything. Sorry, mm-hmm. I've been clicking a lot lately. So I had this idea in my head. I was like, okay, well, I know everything. And then I was quickly humbled out. And I know nothing, to say the least. And so, yeah, that's kind of, I guess, my take on it is, like, it's important because you're constantly growing and you're constantly learning about how to become a better disciple and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
awesome. Yeah. And so spiritual maturity, it's kind of funny that we're talking about maturity today because the cops are like right outside the booth. And so it takes a lot of maturity to be a police officer in this day and age. It takes a lot of maturity to be a disciple of Jesus. And so when we start this off on the right foot, on the giddy up. Mitch, what comes to mind when we want to talk about spiritual maturity?
Well, the first thing that for me comes to mind is, well, where would I find this in a better language?
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that always comes to my mind, we'll stay in the New Testament today, but the first thing that comes to my mind is, well, what does this word mean in Greek, in the biblical Greek? So the word that is commonly used to refer to maturity is teleos, which really means perfect or complete. It has a sense of unity to it. It has a sense of growth, and it has a sense of fullness to it. Okay. It's not just not introductory.
And so is that term contextual in relation to spiritual maturity, or is it like, I just ate at Chipotle, and so my stomach is teleos?
Ah, yes. So it is. It's certainly not contextual to food, obviously.
Okay. That's good.
But you raise a good point in that it is contextual to, I have a dictionary up here that says that complete in various applications of labor, growth, mental or moral character, etc., and also can refer to of full age, completeness, or perfect.
Okay, so it refers to this idea of intangible, almost, right? An intangible fullness?
Yes, it doesn't refer to sort of a physical fullness. It doesn't even necessarily refer to always like a complete job, necessarily. Okay. You could say that, you know, after we've maybe gone and cleaned the church building or put it back together, that our job of cleaning it is teleos.
Okay.
But that's not really its main application. Its main application is about a sense of growth, that you have reached some goal of growth.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And so in terms of spiritual maturity and longevity, I can kind of see why teleos is an applicable term. So it's like Van Gogh. He's got his canvas. And he's got his colors all picked out. But how are we going to paint this picture? How exactly does teleos relate to spiritual maturity?
Well, I think that there are sort of three main applications that we can see, three ways to measure if someone is spiritually mature or not. So I'd say first is about their teaching or their convictions, i.e. that they have mature knowledge of what it means to be a Christian, what is sin, all of that stuff. The second is there should be some sort of fruit that has been shown from their faith.
Okay.
I.e., if you look at, you know, James, you know, faith without deeds is dead. You have to have something to show for your faith, and we see this primarily in Galatians, and we'll get to this in more detail later.
Sure.
But we should also see a real awareness of sin, how it impacts our lives. I think of people who are elders inside our fellowship of churches who are just hyper aware of how their actions impact others, and how if they, even if they could maybe come across as being prideful, they go and make sure that no one's, the person they're talking to isn't offended by it or isn't caused to struggle by it. I think those are three things that really clearly show if someone is spiritually mature or not. If they have those things, that means they're probably more spiritually mature.
Okay. Awesome. And so teleos, spiritual maturity, they all kind of work in tandem as just ideas. Jordan, when you think about somebody who is spiritually mature or teleos in their faith, what's like one word that you would use to describe that person's character?
Dang, just one word. Well, when I think of a person, I think of Megan Ziegler. And honestly, like, I would just say that she, like, kind of walks in the light, but, like, lets her light shine. That's basically what I'm trying to say.
So she's
it's
like,
very obvious that, like, she lives for things that are not for herself. Like, she lives to glorify God, and that can be seen in her actions and the way she treats people and the way she evangelizes and all those things.
Okay. And so...
And her convictions.
Yeah, and so it was kind of like what Mitch was talking about with that, you know, that fruit, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, and I think it can be Megan or it can be anybody. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's kind of like they're true to themselves in their faith in a way, right?
Where, what do you mean by
true? So true to themselves in the sense of their faith is genuine.
Yeah, oh yeah, sure.
And so you can be ingenuine with a lot of things in life, with your faith, with your actions. You can serve somebody in an ingenuine way for selfish gain or ambition. That kind of brings me to my idea, because I always have an idea when I ask a question. It's just the weirdo that I am. But when I think about like this genuine faith, I feel like it has a lot to what Mitch kind of talked about in this word of humility. I think spiritual maturity and humility are two really synonymous terms.
Sure.
Yeah. And so I think, yeah, and that all kind of, that's just my idea of it. But when it comes to Megan, I think you really identify somebody that is worthy of. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
And so, Megan, if you're listening, you're a great example of spiritual maturity.
She would literally be like, stop.
Yeah. Yeah. I might go see Josh for dinner later on, and so I might see her there or something. But anyways, yeah. Mitch, what do you think is just a good word, besides teleos, of course?
To describe someone who is spiritually mature?
Yeah.
I think that an aspect that we may or may not have touched on is self-aware.
Yeah.
I.e. they know their strengths, their weaknesses, what they're good at, what they're not good at. We kind of touched on this with humility, but I think that we didn't quite go far enough with that.
Yeah.
You know, someone who's spiritually mature, not only are they concerned for others, but they're really concerned about their own actions and even the heart that's behind those mm-hmm. actions. Because as you mentioned earlier, it's certainly possible to do stuff that is good, but do it with the wrong heart that makes it bad. Mm-hmm. So I think they're self-aware about what it looks like
yeah.
for someone to truly live in a spiritual way.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think, yeah, and I mentioned that because I feel like it's a really easy thing for me to do. Just to be honest, like it's really easy for me to do that. And I find that when I do, I really cheat myself of a lot of awesome experiences. And so I'm really just encouraged is the word that we're going to kind of examine and expand on this idea. So we've kind of got that stuff down. Like there are, you know, all these good terms that we think about when it comes to spiritual maturity and everything like that. But when we think about teleos, it's much more than just three terms. And so how do we see this idea developed more, Mitch?
The idea of being mature developed?
Sure.
So there are a couple of good scriptures that I think talk about this. So turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to get started with that.
Mm-hmm.
Perry, can I get you to read verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 14?
Yes, of course. And we are all there. Sweet. So this is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, and it says, "Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults."
Awesome. So, well, this may seem like a really odd scripture. For the NIV really enjoys translating this in this context as adults. The ESV translates it as mature. And the original Greek has a form of teleos here, teloi. And it's that aspect that we're really looking for from what Paul's getting at. So how do y'all think one can be teleos or spiritually mature in your thinking?
What do you think, Jordan?
How one can be spiritually mature in their thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe asking themselves before they do something if it glorifies God. Am I on the right track?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, solid.
Yeah.
Perry?
I think that's a great practical that you bring up, definitely, because I love how you, like, because, like, when I think of this stuff, I just think of words to describe it, but you think of, like, practical stuff, and I think that's awesome.
That's just like me as a human.
Yeah, well, it's a very activist-based thought process, I think. When I think about, like, just from the scripture, I think it's modesty in a thought process, in a way, because Paul writes this book, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's like, in terms of evil, you know, be like children. And, you know, the other part of it was, you know, in your thinking, be adults. So it's kind of like this even keel in a way where you're pretty modest about how you go about, you're just unassuming in a way, I think, is how you see spiritual maturity in that aspect, Mitch.
That's both of those are, I think, very, very interesting. I hadn't really thought of either of those before. So I'm very glad that we've had at least this part of the discussion, as it's already, at least for me, enriched what I think of when I think of spiritual maturity. But I think that there's this contrast with infants.
Yeah.
If someone's an infant, they're pretty gullible, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can get an infant to believe anything.
Yes, you can.
You can't get, like, an adult to believe anything.
Well,
at least not always.
Let's talk about Santa Claus, y'all.
Yes, we can fool infants.
We've touched on Santa Claus before on this podcast.
I'm just saying that's an easy way to trick infants.
Yeah, and even people who are slightly older than infants. But the way Paul divides it is there's infants and then there's not infants.
Yeah.
There's people who are gullible, like really gullible, and people who are not. And Paul talks about how we need to be teleos, we need to be complete in our thinking. And one of the ways that we need to be complete is in how we think about God. So what are some simple misconceptions that people have about God that illustrate that their thinking is incomplete?
Hippie Jesus.
Dang it, I was going to say that. You know
what? Hippie Jesus, white Jesus. Both of these are brilliant examples.
You say white Jesus?
White Jesus. Jesus was from the Palestine region. He wasn't white.
There's a song by Andy Mineo. And I think it's talking about the misconceptions that he has. And there's this one that he's like, I even thought that Jesus was white. And I was like, oh, snap. Because I think, honestly, I had that misconception for a while, too.
Yeah, it's easy to think about because of the culture in which we are immersed.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
But other than hippie Jesus, white Jesus, perhaps some deeper misconceptions about the nature of God or what the scriptures say or something along those lines.
Go ahead, because I cut you off last time.
You did. It's okay. Pray Jesus into your heart. That you can pray Jesus into your heart.
Yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah, you just have to have faith.
Yep.
Yeah.
These are great examples. And we could go on and on and on for days. They would have to forcibly remove us from this booth if we wanted to just keep talking about all of the misconceptions that exist.
Yeah.
And of course, not everyone needs to be able to read from cover to cover in Greek and understand textual variants and understand all of this other stuff. But there is a baseline that you have to have for Paul to consider you and Jesus to consider you and God to consider you teleos in your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes across in various convictions. We've talked earlier about boundaries. If your thought process doesn't include boundaries at all, you are not teleos in your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to grow in that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's something interesting I learned when I was a disciple, because I didn't know what boundaries were before that.
Because it's not something that's necessarily intuitive.
No.
If you live in a 21st century Western semi-secular society, boundaries like that are not a real thing.
Yeah.
But in discipleship, they most definitely are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I think it speaks to just this idea of awareness and perspective, too, that comes with being self-aware, kind of what you talked about earlier, because it's like you know where you came from and you know how this made you feel in the past when somebody else did to you, and that really speaks to that boundary aspect that, okay, I know how I felt when that happened to me. I don't want to make somebody else feel that way.
Yeah.
And so that's when that idea teleos kind of comes in my mind, at least, to the spiritual maturity thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a really important point. It is, however, very notable to understand that it's not just completeness in your thinking, i.e. that you know everything.
Yeah.
Turn over to Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to look in a little bit more depth about whomever wrote the book of Hebrews. We have absolutely no idea, but we're pretty sure that it wasn't Paul. Some people will reflexively say that it is, although most serious scholars. I don't know.
It's okay, Mitch.
Yeah, it's not me.
It's all right, buddy.
But okay. Some people will passionately insist, in fact, that it is Paul who wrote this, but they are incorrect. But in Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 13, says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward into maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God. Instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so.
Can I do this real quick? Just.
Why? Is it necessary? Like,
gosh. I had no idea what was about to happen there.
We literally said
we talked about it.
Anyway, sometimes when we think of being complete in our thought, it can force us to just constantly re-examine and make sure that we've got everything right. As that's someone, what you should do. You should check and make sure your ideas are correct. We all should. But we can sometimes just regress into needing to be told everything again and again and again. So what is a foundational thing, a foundation of repentance that you've had to either be taught more than once or teach others more than once?
Man, oh boy, like we can get down into it, honestly.
Yeah, for sure.
I think we've kind of talked on it actually, and I think it's a big reason that we had this in this series. It comes down to boundaries and platonic friendships. I think while I was studying the Bible, my understandings and my convictions about my friendships with women and just what my boundaries were a whole lot different, suffice it to say, than they are now. And so I think that would be mine definitely.
Yeah. Jordan, what about you?
When I was studying the Bible, I had to go through the word study like 10 times. So,
man, you had a long...
Shout out to Katie Werner, yeah, who persevered with me like through that. Because I was like, why do we have to keep doing this? And she's like, well, why do we have to keep doing this? And I was like, I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, for me, it came down to the point when, I just went up to the guy I was studying with, who was leading my study, and was like, man, I really want to get baptized. You know, what do I do? You know, and he was like, you need to have a change of heart.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks to this teleso word. Is that the word?
Teleos.
Teleos, no, my goodness. It speaks to that. It's like, you know, your heart can be in the right place, but even though your heart's in the right place, your thought process maybe isn't. And just your whole life has to kind of match up. And that's the point that I really had to get to, And so, yeah, that's me. That's Jordan, Mitch. What about you?
Yeah, let's flip it
on you, Mitch.
No, those are both good points at the beginning. So I would say that boundaries and learning what that actually meant, because I just came in with no real concept of what that meant. And for me, I think it was really helpful that I came in knowing – for all intents and purposes, nothing.
Same.
And that everything through the studies was just lay the foundation.
Yeah.
And once I got to the point where I could really, really trust what the people were saying, it became very easy to lay the foundation, as if after the studies I would go back, look at what they said, see if it was, you know, actually what the scriptures had said, and it always was.
Yeah.
And at that point, it was easy to just lay that foundation and build, particularly in terms of humility, i.e. these people mm-hmm. know far, far more than I do, and I just have to trust them. So if I have questions, those are the people to go to, and not, you know, holding on my own strength and my own ability to read and figure stuff out,
mm-hmm.
but that I have to actually rely on others. And then it led to more deeply understanding how to rely on God and not rely on my own power. And it has, you know, hundreds of different practicals that flow from mm-hmm. that. But that was a really important thing.
Yeah.
But for all three of us, would any of us say that this teaching of the foundational stuff was easy?
No.
Considering I studied the Bible twice, no.
Yeah, I would certainly not say that it was easy either. And I think that's certainly part of this. At the end of chapter 5, it says, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil, mm-hmm. referring to those who exhibit this teleos.
Yeah.
Do you think that even disciples who have been disciples for a long time still kind of struggle with this idea?
Oh, yes. I think that everyone struggles with this idea to a certain extent.
Asking for a friend.
Because just everything is a process.
Yeah, for sure.
You won't just be mature some random day.
Yeah, and I think that's an idea that kind of becomes a lifestyle, especially as you grow older as a disciple. I guarantee, you know, you could walk up to somebody that's 10 years old, 15, 20, and ask them, like, gosh, does it ever end? And I think they'd give you the same answer. It's like just the same way that the Bible applies to your life every single day, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, it never ends. And so I think, like, it's kind of like a hamster wheel, but it's a hamster wheel that's going to pay off in the end, too, which is encouraging to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the best metaphor used, and I was reading something not on this, but had this aspect to it, is that in Greek, the Christian life is often referred to as a hodos, as a path or a road, and it always has this element of progress to it. We need to be progressing toward maturity. Mm-hmm. And if we're not, that's an indication that we lack spiritual maturity.
Yeah.
Because we're never going to be perfect until the new heavens and the new earth.
Exactly.
But we should always be striving toward it. So what does it look like to strive toward spiritual maturity?
I think perspective, honestly, kind of just going off what you just said, like, this is what I'm working towards. Like the new heavens and the new earth. Like, if I can make maturity and the new heavens and the new earth the same thing in my mind, then it's like, okay, I know exactly what I'm working towards, and all this is worth it. For me, at least. What do you think, Jordan?
I'm going to give my standard answer.
Oh, no.
Read your Bible.
Exactly.
It's so important. I know that's my standard answer for literally everything, but it's so important because, like, I've seen how, like, my day is most definitely different when I don't, because I do struggle to read it sometimes. Like, I'm a human.
Well, we see the faith comes from the Word, and so I love that conviction that you have. I think that's just a great conviction. And it shows that the Word study's paid off.
Thanks, Katie. Thanks, Cassandra.
The constant Word studies.
Yes, the constant Word studies. So, yeah, what do you think, Mitch?
I think it looks progressing toward maturity. Looks like, I don't know, I really like the way that you described it with perspective. And I think that that is a clear indicator of progress. But I think our best indicator of progress also comes from Scripture, and it comes about what it means to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't turn there just for the sake of time, but mild aside, it is the fruit, not fruits. If you don't have all of them, you should very much be looking at yourself and seeing if you have the fruit. Because it is singular. So if you don't exhibit all of them, that's a really big problem.
Amen.
And for some reason, we reflexively insist on saying, no, it is, they are the fruits of the Spirit, when in fact they are not. But if you don't exhibit things like self-control and all of the entire list, then that's a pretty big problem. Yeah. So if you see those growing in your life, then I think you're on the path towards spiritual maturity.
I love that. That's awesome, man.
I love that for us.
Yes. Yike. Well, but that's awesome, man. I think that it's been so great to kind of define this term of wholesomeness, especially just as we go throughout this whole semester, you know, everything that's happened outside of this podcast, and to be able to talk about these things on it, it's amazing to see how they connect. I love that idea. I love that for us. Yes.
That's a quote from my pal, Allison Berg.
Shout out, Allison Berg. Mitch.
Yes.
I don't want to put another gunshot in there. Let's
no,
move on.
Don't,
let's
don't,
move
okay.
on.
Don't do it.
Let's
Please
move on.
Don't. I
so
hear that again.
Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at one more scripture here today, which will help demonstrate, I think, a little bit of this.
Okay.
So, Jordan, can you read verses 11 through 16?
Uh-oh, here we go.
Let me find it, because I lost it. I was on the wrong chapter.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry. Oh, no. Okay. Ephesians 4. Starting in verse 11?
You didn't flip the page.
I was looking at the wrong page. Like, I was looking at this page, not this page. Wow, yikes. It was about to be bad. Okay. Anyways.
Yes. Thank you for that.
Stop. Okay, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Wow.
Amen.
Well, I'm not done yet. then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of the people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head of Christ. From him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Awesome. So why did I bring this scripture? What is seen here that is not seen in the others?
I think unity.
That's certainly what I was thinking. Jordan?
I think of trials, because when I look at verse 14, it talks about being tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there and every which way.
Yep, that's the other thing I was thinking. Both of those are right on why the scripture is here. So let's start with this idea of trials. Why are trials important to spiritual maturity?
Because they produce character.
Okay, let's go a little deeper.
Well, I think trials are like when you grow the most. I feel like I've grown the most out of all of the hard times I've faced.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot.
Yeah. I think you can't tell the good times without knowing that you've gone through the bad.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm, that's
absolutely
good.
Absolutely.
And so that's why I think they're important.
Did you guys ever go through that like honeymoon stage? Like after you got baptized, you're like, oh, life is awesome. And then your first like major thing hit and you're just like.
I think.
yep.
I don't think I had the chance to have a honeymoon stage,
really?
To be honest. No, not really.
Aww.
Yeah, no, it's okay. This is my honeymoon stage right here with
good.
Mitch and Jordan. Yeah. But yeah, I think definitely I love that point because it's trials are how we know the good times.
Yeah, I think that's...
Or the honeymoon stages.
I think that's a really good set of points about trials and that you really learn who you are when you are tested.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus does this all the time.
Yeah.
Whenever he has crowds, he gives them some sort of tougher message, usually about what it really means to follow him. And then he learns, okay, who are the people who are really following me?
Yeah.
Those are the people who are teleos in their commitment to Jesus, that they are complete, they are wholehearted, and they are all in their commitment to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that following that example, it's really important to have trials in our lives because it does force us to realize, you know, how much am I really in for this? Am I all in or am I only in during the honeymoon period? And when it gets mm-hmm. tough, I'm out. Because a lot of people can have that point of view. And we've seen people have that point of view that are no longer members of the church, that are no longer members of campus ministries, that are no longer members of communities of God's people. And that indicates that they were at no point teleos in their repentance, that they were not fully in.
Mm-hmm.
But Perry, you bring up this point of unity. Why is that important for spiritual maturity?
I think about it like a family in a way. I never had siblings and never had that privilege. Yeah, I was an only child, so, you know, it's kind of funny. I feel like if you have siblings, you're going to resent them at some point in time. And I, being an only child, I resented my siblings for not being there.
I feel that, though, because I was an only child for, like, the first 8 years of my life.
Yeah.
And then when I got my siblings, I'm like, what?
Yeah. But it's kind of funny, that idea of like resentment. It's the same thing with the adversity or the trials. You know, I think, but at the end of the day, you're still going to be brother and sister. you know, like, or my imaginary brother and sister that I would have growing up and stuff.
I really want you to have a sibling to experience.
Well, talk to my parents about that. And, you know, I've got a lot of them now. But earlier in life, it was just, I think unity is this idea of we're in this together, we're refined by this together, and that's why it's so important. And that's why he brings it up.
Yeah, I think that's really good. Jordan, what do you think about unity as it relates to spiritual maturity?
I think you need your pals. I think you need your pals just to help you out. I'm going to be honest, like, I love my pals, and they've helped me through a lot. Shout out to my pals. Y'all know who you are. But, like, I feel like just kind of them being there and helping me through the hard times has helped me grow even much more. Because, like, if I think about it, like, if I were to go through something by myself completely, like, yeah, like, I should be, like, fully reliant on God, but, like, for me, like, I know I need that extra support that comes from other godly people.
Yeah.
And so I think that's been really helpful in my walk with God. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Proverbs talks about iron sharpening iron, and so we sharpen one another. So I think there's this level of unity that's necessary. It also just means that we need to be around the body.
Yeah.
A spiritually mature person is not one who shuns the meetings of the body, because they understand both that they need it and that they are sometimes that thing that other people need.
Yeah.
That if if your pals just, you know, stop showing up, that wouldn't be good for either you or for them.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard you say pals in my whole entire life. I'm hearing new things from you, Mitch.
New things are good. Growing is good. But there is a level of unity that is necessary along with these trials. So those are the scriptures that I've got for today. Are there other things that we think of when we think of spiritual maturity?
I think of endurance, honestly, and as it relates to love, though, like, I think the difference between biblical love and, you know, love that you see on the TV are two completely different things, and I think the thing that separates them is endurance.
Yeah, oh, for sure. You can even see that in, like, I don't know, today's society in terms of, like, relationships.
Yeah.
Like, people dip out when things get hard.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think that the way that you show somebody you love them is that you have endurance, and not just that friendship, but the things you've built that friendship on.
Kind of like that unconditional aspect.
Yeah. And so it's really hard to have an enduring love that's built on material things.
Oh, absolutely.
That's built on, like, a relationship that, you know, is based on things that aren't beneficial, or, like, just, you know, things you can exchange or something like that. When I think of love that relates to spiritual maturity, it is humble. You know, we can go through the First Corinthians and stuff and everything, but it's understanding who you are and why you're doing what you're doing. And that's how you love people, to me at least.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's a really good point to end our discussion about spiritual maturity on. Hope you all have enjoyed learning more about what it means to be a mature disciple of Christ, what it means to try and attain teleos in our relationships with one another and with God.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the most important aspects of our life. If we don't understand what it means to be a better disciple, it will make the road to the end of discipleship much, much harder.
Yeah. And, you know, suffice it to say, guys, we haven't achieved anything. We've not achieved teleos. I just learned that word today.
Yeah, me too.
If that says anything about my understanding and application of this, I think it's, like we touched on earlier, it's the heart behind it, and we want to share this with you guys as much as we want to do it with each other. And so, you know, we appreciate you listening. As always, hit us up on the socials and stuff. You know, you can find us on Instagram at The Simple Pod. And you can email us, simplepodcast1234@gmail.com. This is, Jordan is dying for emails. But this is the end of our third installment of our four-part series as it pertains to longevity. We've had a great time today, right, guys?
Indeed.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So we're going to check out of here. That's Jordan, Mitch, and I, /Perry, saying goodbye for the 2500th time. Bye.